And so good to see you. You got Josh Carey right here. It's your hidden entrepreneur. Welcome into the studio. We got a great show for you today. And I promise you that we are going to be talking all about leadership. And I know who you are. I know what you value. And as I said, this is the show for you. Our guest today is Zoe Routh. She is a leadership futurist, an author, and a podcaster. She's got her third novel released right now. It's called Olympus Bound. You can get it, read it, consume it anywhere you get your books. We're going to talk all about leadership. And to help us navigate this sometimes complex, sometimes elusive or evasive topic, it is Zoe Routh. Welcome to the program.
Josh, I'm so delighted to be here.
I appreciate that. You call yourself a leadership futurist. Now, I know generally what that means, but what does that mean?
Yes, I sit here with my wig and my scarf and my crystal ball, and I gaze into the future to see what's happening. No, I do not do that. What I do is I am obsessed about what's happening around the planet, and I look at current trends and events and try and weave in the questions of what does this mean for the future? What could happen in the near to far future? And how do we need to respond as leaders? What is the leadership that we need in order to contend with these challenges that are emerging and the opportunities? So as a leadership futurist, I'm really focused on how do leaders need to show up, what kind of approaches they need to take, and what kind of skills and abilities they need to contend with everything that's going on.
Does that suggest that some leaders are short-sighted and that might be an issue?
Oh my goodness. Yes, absolutely. And I think that's probably more the norm, is that people are more focused on the near future as opposed to the far future, and being nearsighted or short-sighted, as you put it, is absolutely what's happening. They are very short-term focused, trying to determine what they can do best to produce results in the next quarter as opposed to the next year, 20 years, 30 years, or for the future of humanity. So I work with leaders to expand their time horizon, for one thing, and two, expand the way that they think about their impact. It's not just about the next 90 days. It's really about the long term. And who else are they going to impact? Not just their immediate stakeholders, but shareholders and actually, the reverse, not just their shareholders, but their stakeholders. Where are the ripple effects of their current thinking and actions? And that is actually pretty challenging for people, because sometimes it's really hard to imagine more than just a few days or weeks into the future when things are moving and changing so quickly.
Well, not even hard to imagine, but you spoke about some of those important holders, right? The shareholders, the stakeholders who are every day, every week, certainly every month, saying, hey, what have you done for me lately? And if they're not hitting their immediate short-term revenue goals, they're not going to make some people happy and maybe out of a job. So how do you balance that?
Well, that trend is actually shifting. So I think that it was very much the mainstream conversation about where's my return on my investment? I want to see what bang for my buck I'm getting in supporting your company or being part of this. There is a much more growing trend to think, well, it's not just about the bottom line. It's about the impact that we're having on society and community. And particularly the younger generations are more interested in working for companies or supporting companies that have a larger, broader context in mind, that are taking that social responsibility and governance trends to heart, and are being and companies that are being responsible for that. So that is one of the trends that is emerging. And I think if CEOs and leaders are ignoring that, it's much to their peril. They will fall out of favor. They will lose market share, etc. So it is in people's best interest to be concerned about the broader impact that they're having in their work.
When you start working with an executive, what is the actual work that you do from day one? What do you do? What do you then have me do?
It depends where they're at in the stage of their leadership growth. Having said that, universally, it's always about the individual. What's happening in their immediate world? How are they thinking and feeling about their role, their responsibilities? Are they equipped from a skills-based point of view to handle the complexity of the situation they find themselves? Do they need to build their influence skills? Do they need to build their technical skills, such as strategic thinking or leading culture or leading change? And from there, we basically do a diagnostic of what it is that they want to achieve and where are the gaps that need to be filled and what kind of support and exploration do they need. So I'm working with a couple of leaders right now where we've done that diagnostic and we looked at, is it futurist thinking that you need to work on? Is it culture? What is it that is specific to you? And for two of them in particular, it's actually developing their self-mastery skills a little bit. So putting themselves back on the priority list and learning deep self-mastery, deep composure, so that they can rock up to a difficult board meeting and be able to stand in the line of fire without losing their self-control and being more effective and influential in that situation. So every individual is a little bit different, but that's sort of where we start. What's happening for you, the individual, and then we expand from there. And sometimes that leads into working with their teams because their teams might be a little bit dysfunctional, or they're working in silos, and we need to get over that. So sometimes it branches off into working with the collective as well.
You've written books, certainly all with the leadership theme, including nonfiction and now fiction. Your third novel, Olympus Bound, released now, available now. Congratulations on that. What is your history? What have you done in your past that allowed you to be such a pro at all this?
Well, thanks for calling me pro. I appreciate that. My origin story is basically with my head buried in a canoe. And I started my professional world in the outdoors when I worked at a summer camp for 9 summers in Northwest Ontario in a place called Lake of the Woods. And that is where my passion for people and the wilderness emerged. And that set me on a career trajectory that took me through Canada and over to Australia, where I live now, working for Outward Bound Australia and then the Rural Leadership Foundation. And through each of those organizations, it was always about exploring team leadership, individual leadership, and collective leadership, using the outdoors as a crucible or as a container to explore how people work together and don't work together so well, so that people can better perform and think better about their responsibilities as a team leader and team member. And so that sort of has informed my professional journey. And I've always been a reader and I've always been a writer. I started writing professionally about 20 years ago when I launched my first newsletter back in the day when those weren't that common. And I've been writing a blog ever since in the last 20 odd years. And that culminated in my first book in 2015, I think it was, called Composure: How Centered Leaders Make the Biggest Impact. So all of my life experience, my work experience, and my research and professional endeavors has led me to the point of producing books. Writing fiction is a new thing. I only started writing my first novel in 2022. And that emerged when I asked the question, you know, I've written 4 nonfiction books, people stuff. My last one was a multi-award winner. Is that the best way to get the message out? And because I was reading Ursula K. Le Guin's series, Earthsea series, which is fabulous, and I was so moved by that series, I thought, this is a powerful way to get people to think about themselves and leadership. Could I write a novel? And that's how I wrote my first book, The Olympus Project, off the back of that poignant question. And I find that it is like stories transport us to other universes and they get us to feel and think in ways that we don't always give ourselves permission to when we're out in our daily lives. So we live vicariously through fiction characters and it gives us this whole wealth of life experience that we can tap into when we are going back into our day-to-day world and thinking about how might I respond if I was put in such extreme circumstances, such as living on the moon, like Olympus Bound features.
Yeah, we'll get into the context of Olympus Bound, but you've said the word impact a few times when we're talking about leadership. Is that a relatively new aspect you're finding from leaders to focus on?
I don't think it's a new concept. It's probably a new context. I think the context for impact has definitely changed. I think leaders, whether you're thinking about ancient Rome, they always wanted to have impact. And perhaps in ancient Rome, it was the legacy, you know, how many different tribes could I conquer for the glory of Rome? And that was Rome. That was the impact in that context. Not always great, you know, because it often involved genocide, say, for example, but that was the ancient world. And the context is definitely shifted in most cases nowadays for what is impact. And impact is more about How are my staff feeling? How are my employees feeling? Are they living an extraordinary life? Are they well supported? Are they well remunerated? How is their mental health and well-being? So there's that element. How is the culture? So that kind of impact has shifted. You wouldn't necessarily think about that in the ancient world, the culture of my tribe necessarily. It was more about disciplined. Are they disciplined? Are they high performing? So the conversations around impact have changed, but I don't think as a core element of leadership, that has changed.
Is if I want to assess my own level of effective leadership, do I look inward and take a certain assessment, or are there outward clues that would give me that answer?
Oh, absolutely both. And so when we're talking about measurement, which is the substance of your question, then there's a whole process I go through based on Stacey Barr's work. She's an international key performance specialist. And it's really talking about what are the outcomes that you want from whatever activity that you're doing. And when we start to explore that, we look for evidence. And sometimes evidence is internally focused in terms of how I feel, how I experience things. And sometimes it's externally focus. Say, for example, how are people responding to me? What are they saying about me? What am I hearing about that? What kinds of results are we producing? So, based on that kind of evidence, you can develop measures for that. And so, what you end up when you're evaluating a leadership performance, sometimes it is about self-assessment. I feel better about blah, and you can rate yourself on that. And sometimes it's about perception of others, and sometimes it's about tangible results. For example, number of projects delivered in a particular time frame. So a combination of all that can create a picture of effectiveness for the individual leader.
And for the record, I'm a proud father of two, 10-year-old daughter, 8-year-old son. And when you were talking about that, I left my business mode for a minute and I said, how am I leading as a father? And what you said is absolutely correct and applicable. Sometimes I'm proud of myself because of the way I handled that situation and guided and leaded. And other times it's, well, how did they respond? How did they react? All to say, leadership comes in many shapes and sizes, right?
Absolutely. Yeah. I think how we show up as a father or a mother or a friend or a parent or a spouse absolutely influences how we show up in the workplace. And you don't separate out people from the fiber of their being. It all weaves in together.
Wow, I like that. That's deep. So you're saying how you are is how you are.
At the core, I believe that. Yeah. I mean, we are also chameleons. So we change our behavior depending on what's required in the circumstance. And so, for example, here we are on a podcast interview. I'm showing up as the expert and I'm delivering as much value as I can to you and your audience. And after this interview is over, I'm going to go and be friend and wife and just chill out for the day at the beach. So my behavior will be different. So we are able to change how we approach things, and yet the core of who we are remains the same. And that is something that we can cultivate and deepen along the way. And the more that we know ourselves and the more that we are fully integrated as a human, meaning that we know our values, we know our mission, and we feel in alignment with everything that we think and feel and do, then the better we are to be around because we are more at peace with ourselves, we are more fun to hang out with. And there's less of this friction in our lives. And so that makes us just a better human as well as a better leader. So yeah, we're all connected in that kind of way.
Olympus Bound, your third novel, out right now, wherever you get books. Talk to me about this concept of how leadership is intertwined in this structure.
When I started writing the series, it's called the Gaia series, I had a couple of questions that I wanted to explore in each of the books. And in the Olympus Project, the questions I was exploring is how do we actually build a team from the ground up when we're going into such difficult circumstances, such as developing a place to live on the moon? And so I explored that. Like, how do you bring a team together? How can we overcome the different leadership maturity phases? Can we overcome our earlier stages of leadership maturity in difficult circumstances? Can we reach atonement for wrongs that have happened? So those were kind of the questions I explored there. In Olympus Bound, The team is on the moon, so they're in a very difficult environment where they have to rely on one another. And I wanted to explore what are the breaking points, what are the friction points that can arise in such a small knit community when all you have is each other, and how do we deal with the frictions that do come up, and how do we deal with some basic tensions such as the people that we've left behind? How do we resolve the "I've put my work ahead of my family" question? And each of the characters explores that, and how do they come to terms with that? And how do we get over missing all the things from Earth? And is this even a sensible thing to do, to go and live on the moon when there's so many issues to be resolved on Earth? So those are the questions that shape the story, if you like. And then I dove right into the drama, the action, and the characters themselves, and how they developed and overcame lots of different issues along the way.
That in and of itself is a skill, talent, and ability in and of itself, aside from everything you do in the leadership role. It's just mind-boggling that you're able to encompass all of this.
Well, thank you very much for the compliment. It's a lot of fun. So it's fun to play with fictional characters and explore their lives and bump them into each other and see what happens. And I had a lot of fun writing the banter and writing the conflict and writing. There's two love stories that emerge in the story too. So all of that is at play. And I'm writing the sequel, the fourth novel in the series, Olympus Rising,
Wow.
and it gets even more challenging for them. So that's also a lot of fun to write.
And then you'll sell the franchise and the movie rights shortly thereafter.
I hope so. That'd
There
be
you go.
awesome.
That would be awesome indeed. Just like this discussion, Zoe Routh, absolute pleasure and incredible insight. Olympus Bound, Hidden Nation, out right now, wherever you get your books. Go check it out. Zoe, extraordinary meeting you and speaking with you and having you on the program today. Thank you for this.
Oh, thank you. This has been a pleasure.
And it's been a pleasure welcoming you into the studio, Hidden Nation. As always, thank you for investing your time. Go out, do the good work that you know darn well you're capable of doing. Go out, make the impact and difference we're talking about today. We're going to do this again before too long. Until we do, take care. Be well.